morning, everybody. Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with us. We really appreciate it. Welcome to the Senior Care Conversation. I am Hillary Bailey, your host. On this show, we talk about the real challenges that families face when navigating care for their loved ones and how to make the process just a little bit easier. So today, I'm super excited. I'm joined by Adam Henry. He is the Vice President of the Amity Group. Adam and his wife, Shelly, have built a national leader in hospice nurse support, compliance, and technology. From staffing and training to innovative tools like the Tag Staff, which I want to hear about, and the DAHN app as well, which I want to hear about, Adam is helping families and agencies redefine what's possible in senior care. Adam, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited. Guys, he drove all the way from Louisiana, so I feel very special. First question I want to ask you, I just want to get a little bit personal with you.
Sure.
So why did you start this company? What was your passion behind it? What's your drive?
So it's kind of an unusual path. I started off in horticulture and in the oil field, South Louisiana. And my wife, Shelly, you know, has been a hospice nurse a very long time, and she became concerned watching hospice nurses leave the industry due to burnout. And so she had an idea that to start a staffing firm that was dedicated to hospice to bring back the experienced hospice nurses and let them do the work that they love, see their patients, and then go home to their family and get them out of that corporate grind.
Gotcha.
I believed in Shelly, you know, but I was deep in my career. But then when my own grandmother, who I was very close to my grandparents, when they went, she went on hospice, and I saw the good that that hospice does, and I was sold on the idea.
I think hospice is such a gift, and I think the what people think hospice is and what it actually isn't needs to be explained to people, because I think they think it's, you know, death is imminent in 1 to 3 days, and that's just not always the case. You know, I have some clients who have been on hospice, and they've been on it for over a year, and their life is just so much calmer, so much easier, so much better. So I have a lot of respect for your wife who's been doing that for 30-something years. That is a very hard job. So thank you guys for doing that. So I'm going to ask you a few other questions.
Okay.
So when families first realize they need outside help, what are the very first steps they should take to find the right caregiver?
Well, they probably should start with asking their loved one what they expect, what they would like. You know, speak with the doctor, see if, you know, what the needs are. I know that with my own grandmother and my father, two significantly different situations. My grandmother became elderly, still healthy and independent, but she needed more help at home, just living every day, doing everyday stuff. My father, kind of early in life, became very ill. A very large man was difficult to handle, so he needed to be in a skilled facility where they could take better care of him.
Right, right, absolutely. So, So let me just ask you personally. So, say if you were trying to find a caregiver for your mother or father, what would be some of the traits personally you would look for in a caregiver to take care of them? What's important to you?
So, compassion is non-negotiable, right? If they're not interested in the patient, if they're not interested in the family dynamic and the family's routine, real important to us at Amity, all of our nurses are local to the area that they work in. We understand that community and culture is important at the end of life.
Absolutely, it absolutely is. So how do you, I'm gonna try to make this question more about your company. So when you guys are hiring nurses, what is it that you look for?
Okay, so one, if they just basically fill out the application, put their basic name and information and call me, that's a no-go, right? So if they fill out the application and they have all their references listed, and then we first have an interview with our HR rep, and so she has very strict criteria. And if they pass that, then they go on to my wife, Shelly. Shelly's been hospice nurse, you know, all these years. And so she asked them some very direct questions. If they can't explain how they navigated difficult situations in a patient's home, mm-hmm. or navigated difficult situations with a patient's caregiver, mm-hmm. or family members, because we're all people, you know? Mm-hmm. And so then we actually call all of their references, all three of their references. It's important. You know, if you email, maybe they can say whatever. Right. But when you call the person and you mm-hmm. hear the tone, they may be saying nice things, but in a way that kind of gives you that uneasy feeling. Or it may be, you know, hey, this is wonderful. This person is really cut mm-hmm. out for the job. And so we start there.
Okay, that sounds great. So it seems like you're looking for quality over quantity, which is so important when you're working with seniors.
Absolutely. We would much rather tell a client that we don't have a nurse for mm-hmm. you versus just send a warm body and just kind of hope for the best.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly how I do it with my caregiving agency. It's like you have to be able to talk about the difficult times that you've gone through with a client and their family and tell us how you were able to either sidestep that, work through that with the family. You know, what did you do to take care of that issue? So I love that. That tells me that you actually give a crap. Right. If I can say, yeah. if I can say that, and I can't.
We do.
I can't because it's my show. So are there red flags families should watch for during the interview or the hiring process? What are some red flags you guys look for?
So some red flags that I would look for if I was a family member that mm-hmm. was considering hiring a sitter or a nurse or anyone mm-hmm. That's going to be in my loved one's home is, you know, are they overly concerned with mm-hmm. their paycheck? When will they be paid? When will they be off? When is and who is their relief? Mm-hmm. If they're more interested in themselves than they are in the patient, that's probably not a good fit. Mm-hmm. If they're looking around the room, taking inventory of your valuables, mm-hmm. that's probably not a good fit either.
Gotcha. So I know a lot of hospice companies in this area that we work with. So why don't you, if it's okay, if you can do this, walk us through your process. Like when you are onboarding a hospice company, what does that look like?
So, golly.
It's okay.
So we really, really want to talk to the client.
Right.
And see what their needs are.
Okay.
Because we're strictly PRN.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what makes us different from everyone else mm-hmm. is most everyone else is 13-week contract. 40-hour minimum.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of, you don't know what you're going to get.
Right.
Maybe you love them and maybe you hate them, mm-hmm. right? So we do strictly PRN because we understand hospice. Mm-hmm. A census can go up overnight and go down overnight,
yes.
right? Sometimes both in the same day. Mm-hmm. So we don't lock folks into a contract. We have a service agreement and they can, you know, use the nurse Tuesdays and Thursdays or Monday, Wednesday, Friday, mm-hmm. whichever they prefer, whichever works for them, for their yeah. patients. They have a nurse out sick for one day or they have surgery, they're going to be out for 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. We have a nurse that's been with one client well over 2 years. So
wow.
you just never know
yeah.
how that's going to work out.
So it sounds like you guys really cater to your clients, which I love, that you don't lock them into this contract where they have to pay this money because I love that you understand how it works. And so it seems like you built your company around that, like to really service them. And I just love that so much. So how do you guys make the search for nurses easier for, you know, these people who have, you know, people call in all the time or they're not showing up? How do you make that easier for them?
So that's where the TagStaff app comes in. We've built our own proprietary app.
Mm-hmm.
So in there is all of their personnel record.
Mm-hmm.
We've passed many, many surveys over several years. We've never had an issue with our personnel files for mm-hmm. our nurses. All of their time for each day, each visit is well logged. And so, you know, we'll never be this company that has this large nursing pool of warm bodies waiting around to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
We have just a few of the very best hospice nurses mm-hmm. in most of the major cities.
Yeah.
And so we're not for everyone, right? We're not
right.
for every hospice
yeah.
agency,
mm-hmm.
but hospice agencies that put patient care first,
mm-hmm.
you know, we can assure them that they're going to get a highly skilled, qualified hospice nurse that mm-hmm. uses their EMR and also compassionate.
So what does TAG stand for? Is it an acronym?
The Amity Group.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, awesome. Okay. Well, goodness gracious. Okay, guys, so we are going to be right back. And coming up, we're going to talk about balancing work, family, and caregiving without burning out completely. We'll be right back with more insight, expert advice, and stories that matter to every generation. And we're back. I'm Hillary Bailey, and you're watching the Senior Care Conversation on Now Media Television. Like what you're watching? Don't miss a moment of this show or any Now Media TV program, live or on demand, anytime, anywhere. Download the Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS, or catch the podcast version at www.nowmedia.tv. Stay connected to the conversations that matter most. All right, guys, I am back with Adam Henry, who is the VP of the Amity Group. And now we are going to talk about something very interesting and very cool that he and I were talking about on the break. His Dawn app, which is D-A-H-N. So I am going to open the floor to him because I want to know everything about this from top to bottom.
Well, great. So, you know, it's really a great story,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when we started the Amity Group, Shelly was our first and only nurse. Mm-hmm. And so when she had worked in the field before, everything was on paper. All the documentation was on paper. When we started Amity, mm-hmm. she had to go back into the field and learn all the different electronic medical record keeping, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was much more difficult than she anticipated. So she started taking a spiral notebook and writing notes for herself, what worked, what didn't work. Mm-hmm. We started having clients call saying, we don't want Shelly to work in the field. We want Shelly to come to our agency and teach their nurses how to document the way she does. So from there, she wrote two books, right, mm-hmm. to support eligibility for hospice because,
right.
you know, it's governed by CMS and
right.
very stringent.
Can I ask you the names of the books?
So one is Documentation Guide for Hospice Nurses.
Okay.
And the other one is A Supplemental Guide for Hospice Documentation.
By Shelly Henry. Go get it, guys.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah,
go
she's
ahead.
Great. And so, you know, the books are fantastic for quick reference in the field, right? Mm-hmm. However, with technology, you know, and
yeah.
things are always evolving, the books are great, but they're very static.
Mm-hmm.
And so we came up with the idea to turn these two books into an app, which is forever evolving.
Mm-hmm.
So we have hospice nurses all over the country. We have hospice agencies also purchasing the app, mm-hmm. having all of their nurses use it. Because it's a great source of information to ensure the supporting of eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
All the surveys and ADRs and all this kind of stuff that's
mm-hmm.
kind of out of my wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, we want hospice agencies to be able to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want them to receive full reimbursement, right?
Right.
So we are very open to suggestions. Matter mm-hmm. of fact, in the Dawn app, there is a suggestion space. And nurses all the time write in, tell Shelly, hey, it'd be great if you would add this or maybe reword this.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only is she making those changes, but as new regulations are coming out, she's
mm-hmm.
updating the app. And just little tips and tricks that she learns along the way, she's adding those as well.
So how does that fit into, is that something that hospice companies get from you and then they can use that as their documentation system? Or is that just something extra that you provide?
It's an extra that's provided.
Okay.
It's
okay.
for sale in the app stores.
Okay.
And then also if they are a web-based company,
mm-hmm.
We also have a web version, dawn.ai.
Okay.
And it's not AI, it's expert intelligence.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
It's Shelly's proprietary knowledge,
mm-hmm.
right? And we use that technology to come up with those answers quickly. So documentation for hospice nurses, the burnout,
right.
Not only is it a very taxing job
mm-hmm.
throughout the day,
yes.
but now that they've finished their day and come home, you know, family, got to
yeah.
cook dinner and all those types
mm-hmm.
of things, they still have all this documentation to
yes.
do, right?
Yes.
And so it's a win-win. The agency wins because, you know, we're supporting eligibility, mm-hmm. and then the nurse wins because they're getting through their documentation much more quickly.
Okay, and so tell us what DAHN stands for again.
DAHN is D-A-H-N, right. which is Documentation App for Hospice mm-hmm. Nurses.
Man, I love that. So you've talked a lot about, you know, hospice nurse burnout. So let's, mm-hmm. I know you're not a nurse, but I know you know your wife is. So what have you talked with her about? Like what are some stages of burnout that you see, that you can see with a nurse that's on hospice? What are some of the things that they might show us?
Okay, so, you know, just the very basics of the job. Mm-hmm. They may have 6 to 8, maybe even 12 patients to see just in one day.
Yeah.
They're driving their own personal vehicle in most cases, mm-hmm. right? And so they go from one patient's home to the next, to the next, to the next, until they finish their day. Mm-hmm. Well, we're all people, you know? And so while the first visit may be fantastic, mm-hmm. there may be some mental illness involved. There may be some alcoholism, some drug addiction mm-hmm. involved at the next home, mm-hmm. right? So it makes the caregiving more stressful. Mm-hmm. Not all neighborhoods are created equal. There is almost in every city, there is a sheriff's hotline that will escort hospice nurses into certain neighborhoods.
Really?
To see a patient. Yes.
I was not aware of that.
You have to wait. You know, you're on the sheriff's time, but right. that does exist.
Yeah.
Sometimes the wound care is just extraordinary. Maybe the patient has had multiple surgeries, mm-hmm. and so there's just a lot of wound care.
Yeah.
Maybe the patient is not elderly, but maybe they're a middle-aged mom, yeah. right, who has young kids, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Not only is that just a difficult situation, mm-hmm. but it really takes a toll on a person, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And it's the business of there will always be a revolving door mm-hmm. of the next patient who will soon pass.
Right. It
may be a year, maybe 18 months, might be 2 days.
Yeah.
But going into the patient's home, being equated with the family, there is a bond that's created. You know, particularly yeah. these people, there's a thing called compassion fatigue. Mm-hmm. And it gets, you know, you have to turn that off when you go home.
Right.
You know, your career, your mm-hmm. family, and then you have all these people's lives that you're interacting with, mm-hmm. and that you kind of become a part of their family. So it's very taxing.
Yeah. I know, so one of the hospice companies that I work with that we do some caregiving for is Benchmark Hospice, and I know they talked about having a counselor there for their nurses. Is that something that you find helpful? Is that something you guys provide for your nurses, like a counselor, or maybe suggest they go to a caregiver burnout group if they start to feel that way?
Yes, so okay. we don't actually provide that for our nurses, mm-hmm. however, what makes us different from all the other staffing agencies and why most of our nurses want to work for us mm-hmm. is we give them the autonomy to choose their schedule,
oh,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So we had one nurse work for us for a very long time. Her and her husband were retired, but she still wanted to see her patients. She wanted to work 2 days a month. And you know, there's always that client who says, hey, you know, I got a nurse out sick, or I got a nurse mm-hmm. out with an eye appointment. I just need the one day. Can you fill it? Mm-hmm. And it's like, we do.
Yeah.
We can.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow.
And so, you know, some nurses want to work 5 days a week. Mm-hmm. Some nurses want to work just Tuesdays and Thursdays. Some nurses want to work 5 days a week mm-hmm. during the school year, right? But be off at 2:45.
Yeah.
Right? In the summertime, they don't want to work hardly at all. And so that's the part of the platform that makes Amity different from all the other staffing agencies. Right, we're trying to solve the problem for the nurse, and we're trying to solve the problem for the hospice agency,
right.
and we're just that catalyst that links the two.
That's great. It sounds like you take excellent care of your nurses.
We do. So Shelly stays in touch with yeah. them, and Mallory, our lead HR person, is mm-hmm. always touching base. Hey, you've yeah. been working a lot. Do you need mm-hmm. some time off?
Yeah.
How's it going? You know, it's very hands-on.
Yeah. I mean, they may be nurses, but they're caregivers, and I think caregivers need care.
Well, yeah,
you know?
you can't give more than what you have. Yeah. So when you become burnout, maybe it's time to take a break.
Yeah.
Spend some time with some family. Go on a vacation or just a staycation, you know?
Staycation, that sounds awesome. So do your nurses educate on how to share the load of caregiving? Do they do a lot of education with families about how they can step into the caregiving game as well? So
while all our nurses are very well educated, and you know, if it's an amity nurse, you know they're very well educated in documentation, just you know, via proxy because of Shelley being such a hospice documentation nerd, right?
Yeah.
So, but we don't overstep the boundaries of what the hospice agency wants, right?
Okay.
And so while our nurses don't present as an amity nurse for the patient, they may say, you know, hey, I'm not your forever nurse, but I'm filling in right now. I'm going to take good care of you and those types of things. However, we won't go into the hospice agency's policies and procedures unless that agency has specified, hey, with this patient or on this day, this is what I want you to do.
Okay, gotcha. Right. So, Adam, if families want to learn more about you, more about your approach, if hospice companies in this area want to contact you, what is the best way for them to get a hold of you?
So the best way is to go to our website. That's amitystaffing.com. That's AmitystaffiNG.com. There is a submission form. They can fill that out and hit submit, and we will, you know, be in touch very soon.
Awesome. And so do you guys do like a welcome call or just talk with them over the phone? Is that how you kind of start the conversation with them?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
You know, whatever they're most comfortable with.
Okay.
We're very hands-on, so if they want to speak on the phone, some folks don't want to. They prefer to communicate via email.
Right.
You know, we're also good with that.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, we are going to be right back with some more awesome information from Adam and his company. We'll be right back with more insight, expert advice, and stories that matter to every generation. And we're back. I'm Hillary Bailey, and you're watching the Senior Care Conversation on Now Media Television. Hey guys, welcome back to the Senior Care Conversation. I am Hillary Bailey, and we are back with Mr. Adam Henry with the Amity Group. And now he and I are gonna discuss how his business grew, how it started tiny and how it got to where it is now. And he was telling me a little bit about it over the break. And so I think it's definitely something that I want him to share. So Adam, you have the floor.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So, you know, young at entrepreneurship, right? We had all these big dreams.
Yeah.
And so we thought that we would just take over the Lafayette area, you know, like gangbusters, right? And so it didn't quite go that way, as most entrepreneurs find out. It's a little tougher road than that. And so we started branching out. I literally would get in my truck and I would go to Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Shreveport, Lake Charles, and I would have a list of all the hospice agencies and I would go knock on their door. And I would tell them about the Amity Group.
Yeah.
And so we grew a little bit. And then I started coming here to Houston, right? I'd get in my truck and I'd stay in $45 a night hotels and order a large pizza and make that last a few days, you know?
Yeah.
But I would go around to all the hospice agencies and I would, you know, pass out my little information. I would tell them about, you know, the Amity Group and what we do and why we're different. And then it just spread. I started going to Alabama and Mississippi.
Wow.
And we're in Georgia and we're all over now.
I was about to ask you, like, what areas do you cover so people know that are
We're nationwide.
Okay.
We are nationwide.
Okay.
So, you know, what really helped us grow after we were, you know, four or five, six states, TikTok. Shelley's handle is Four Hospice Nurses. That's F-O-R.
Okay.
Right? Four Hospice Nurses.
Okay.
Where she started doing videos. She was going to do, you know, one video a week, then three videos a week. She's very introverted. She didn't really want to do this, but we knew she needed to, right?
Yeah.
And so now she does it almost every day. Well, she started getting recognized and started being asked to speak at all these hospice and palliative care conferences.
Yeah.
And so, you know, organically things have, you know, when you do the right thing and you put people first, good things tend to happen.
Yes, I love that. We share that same feeling. That's exactly how I feel. I feel like God places the people in my life that I'm supposed to help. And if I help them, then my life's going to be wonderful.
Exactly.
It's going to be great. So let's talk about your tag bag.
The tag bag. Okay, so again, tag
is... I'm excited. I don't know what it is.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so tag, again, is the Amity Group, right? And bag, it's a medical bag. So
okay.
It is the first and only wearable medical bag that has a safety light, right? Mm. And so, again, another product that we built to solve Shelly's problem, you know, when she went back into the field, she didn't like the bags that were available on the market. There's a disconnect between the developer and the actual nurse, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they either hurt her neck, hurt her shoulder, hurt her hips.
Mm-hmm.
So we bought all of the bags.
Okay.
We tried all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started drawing what would work. You know, oh, you need hand sanitizer, okay. Oh, you were on call last night and you couldn't see and you had to do a procedure that you don't necessarily want to ask a family member to hold the flashlight for.
Right.
So it's like, okay, well, let's put a light on it.
Okay.
Right? And so we got one made, and then she started being known as the blonde with the hip bag.
Oh.
Right?
You know, well,
in the
I
hospital.
Love it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So we found a company in Rochester, New York, and they started making them for us. A great group. But it was the lead time was very long, and our cost, it really was a labor of love.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And so, no relation, but Brianna Henry in New Orleans got in touch with her, and I don't even remember how that happened, but she used to work at Coach, and she is a designer. So she looked at the bag, and so she made some changes to it, right? And then she linked us up with her mentor, who's in New Jersey, who owns a factory overseas.
Wow.
And so we've been manufacturing that over there. What's great about the tag bag, not only is it can be worn as a hip bag, crossbody, but also has an extremely bright light, hand sanitizer, room for all the necessary equipment that a nurse would use on any regular home visit, right? And then another pocket for pens, pencils, reading glasses, and then a padded pocket for the EMR tablet, right? That was a problem that Shelly had. She didn't want to hold it under her arm. She didn't want to put it down.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, there's so many rules, sterile field, this, that. You put your bag down, you have to put down a big cloth, then you have to... So, yes.
Yeah. So, even with a clean barrier, you know, not, there you go.
Yeah. They have it up on the screen. Awesome.
Right. Yeah. So, even with a clean barrier, you know, pets and, you know, not all homes are created equal. And so, this just seemed to be a better fit and, you know, it's taken off.
Hey, y'all.
So we're very grateful for that.
That is amazing. And I love the way that it looks. So, let me think here. What else? There are some questions up here that I want to kind of flip where we can talk about your, is there anything about what you guys do or offer that we haven't talked about yet?
Let's see. So we've talked about our staffing. What we haven't talked about is our chart auditing.
Ooh, let's talk about that.
Right.
So, nobody likes to do that.
Well, Shelly.
Oh, right? Maybe Shelly likes to do it.
Shelly loves it, right? And then so just because of Shelly being on social media, doing all these videos, right? Huge following on TikTok. I think I forget the exact number, but in the hospice community, it's large. Right.
Yeah.
It's small niche, right?
Yeah.
But so we've recruited or some organically, hey, I want to do this. I want to be a part of what you guys are doing. Documentation is really a hot topic right now in hospice. One, it's an excessive amount for the nurses to do. And two, it is critically important for the hospice agency to have it right.
Oh, yes, okay? Absolutely.
And so why wouldn't you want to have a team of hospice documentation nerds looking at your charts? Just a second set of eyes, right? Looking for some particulars. And then so that has spun into a whole training system that we have.
Oh, wow.
Right. Now,
I want to hear about that.
Well, that's really more Shelly's wheelhouse, right?
Yeah.
But it caters to what the client needs. It's like, hey, if we, you know, we're doing these chart audits and we're seeing, hey, you guys are doing great in this. but you know, 5 out of 7 of your nurses are getting this incorrectly, or maybe you're at risk of losing money in this area, then we concentrate on that. And so what makes us different than most of these other training companies, right? We don't come in and do this, you know, boot camp all day. You're gonna be here all weekend and we're gonna feed you pizza and you're gonna know it, right? We do 1 hour, right? And then monthly, we do little 15-minute segments, usually at their IDG meeting where everybody's present, right?
Yeah.
And so the small bites, we're really seeing a turnaround and correction, and we have a lot of happy customers all over the U.S.
Oh, I'm sure you do. Chart audits are awful. I know. I don't like to do that. But so just because for my education and for, you know, other people out there, I know hospice is covered by Medicare, but how is it paid out? Like, what does that look like? Do you know the answer to that question?
So I don't know exactly. But what I understand is, so a hospice agency takes care of all the expenses for the patient.
Yeah.
And then they have a coding system that, so all these products and services are coded and then they're submitted to CMS and then CMS reimburses them.
Okay.
So the hospice agency is really out the money up front.
Okay.
Right? So it behooves them to get their money back.
Right.
And a lot of that is contingent on, you know, Shelly has a whole thing right now that she's doing on, I'm sure you're familiar with, you know, if it wasn't documented, it wasn't done.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, of course it was done.
Yeah.
Right? These are compassionate professionals.
Yeah. Right.
Of course they're doing the work.
Yeah.
So we just need to help them, you know, the Dawn app, the chart auditing and training, to really sew up those loose ends and help the hospice agency, help the owners sleep well at night.
Yeah, you know? So something, I'm a physical therapist assistant. I used to go out and do home health and, you know, and even work in skilled nursing facilities. And the big thing is, oh, productivity, productivity. So they, you know, document while you're with the patient. Make sure you're, you know, doing your notes while you're with the patient. Well, that's not good patient care.
Right.
So this, the Dawn app that you're talking about, does that, is it something that makes it easy enough for them to maybe be able to do some of the documentation while they're with the client?
So again, I'm not clinical, but from what I understand, so if they do their check boxes, I believe it is, like in the patient's home, when they get down to their car in the driveway, then they can fairly quickly do the rest of the documentation before they leave and go to the next patient's home.
That is awesome. So do all of your nurses get a tag bag?
Because
I kind of want to just get one for
Maybe we can work that out. Maybe we can work that out.
Yeah.
They do all get the Dawn app though.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So is the Dawn app, I know you're not clinical, is the Dawn app, is it like a click? Is it like a document narrative system? How does that kind of look?
So, you know, I really can't speak to that,
okay.
but I do know that it's fairly easy to use.
Okay.
I know that whenever, because I have it on my phone, just because, you know.
Yeah.
When I look at it, it's like, okay, I mean, this is attractive, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, you have a menu that you click on and then some options come up and then you click on that and then it gives you other options. And again, that's always evolving and changing and staying up to date.
So I'm going to ask you a off the cuff question.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been a time where you have helped a hospice company and it just really filled you up, like you changed everything for them, like you changed the game for them? Can you think of a cool story like that since you guys have opened?
Okay, so I don't know how heartwarming this is.
Well, it doesn't matter if you
but have. Just, you know, reality, what I'm thinking.
Right.
A client of ours, a hospice agency, their own nurse went out into the field, very first patient of the day, broke their foot walking into the home. Now, they have a full schedule of patients to see that day, and they went from being borderline short-staffed to really being short-staffed. Do you have somebody right now? I don't know, but I'll see. And you know, we had somebody that was able to get over there, take over that patient load for the day, and they worked 3 or 4 days, and that client was extremely grateful for us.
That is huge. I mean, because of the business that I'm in with caregiving, I mean, when you're on, like, on point like that, people will call you over and over again. If I mean, that just shows that your nurses are willing to do whatever for you because you take great care of them.
That's right.
I absolutely love that. I'm trying to think what else. Anything else that we haven't touched on that you might want to touch on really quick with your business and how you make things easier for hospice companies? I'm loving everything that he's already said, guys. They are client oriented, people oriented, senior oriented. I absolutely love it.
So we could go back to the tag staff.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So our proprietary app that we built for ourselves, mm-hmm. right? So not only is the personnel file in there, mm-hmm. right? But if we have a client portal, mm-hmm. and they go to the portal and they put in their needs, mm-hmm. right? In other words, it's not a 13-week, 40-hour week
yeah.
contract.
Mm-hmm.
You need a nurse Tuesday and Thursday for the next 3 weeks or whatever the case may mm-hmm. be. That sends out an SMS message to only Amity nurses. It's not just
wow.
this you know, crazy
yeah.
pool, right? It's
yeah.
just only our hand-selected, experienced hospice nurses,
mm-hmm.
right? And so that nurse or whoever, they can select the jobs that they want.
Mm-hmm.
And so not only when they're working in the field, is it documenting where they are, what patient, and you know, it has a pin drop.
Mm-hmm.
So you know where they are in real time. The client can actually go into the portal and it's like, it's 11. Where is it? Because I have another need.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Where is this nurse at to see if they're close or if they're too far away? Do I need to make a different decision? They can see in real time where that nurse is.
That is game changer. Do you know how many times I've talked with some hospice nurses and they've been like, that client calls me over and over to ask me when I'm going to be there. Oh my gosh. Game changer, y'all. Amity Group. Need to call them if you own a hospice company. We are learning so much awesome stuff with Adam, so we'll be back in just a minute with more. We'll be right back with more insight, expert advice, and stories that matter to every generation. And we're back. I'm Hillary Bailey, and you're watching the Senior Care Conversation on Now Media Television. Loving what you're watching? Download the Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS to catch this show and more anytime, anywhere. Or listen on the go with our podcast at www.nowmedia.tv. Stay informed, inspired, and empowered. Okay, guys, we are back on the Senior Care Conversation. Again, I'm Hillary Bailey, your host, and now we're switching gears. I have Miss Shelley on our show now. Shelley, thank you for popping on.
Oh, thank you.
So Shelley has been a hospice nurse for how long?
I've been a hospice nurse for 24 years and a 24. Nurse for like 35 years.
Okay. So we are going to hop into all things that are hospice because I know, you know, I don't think people these days know what hospice is and what it's not. So let's just start there. Why don't you tell us what hospice can offer to clients that have been diagnosed with an incurable disease?
So hospice is, a lot of people think that hospice is very end of life, like it's the last days or week or so of life, but it's really not. Hospice is appropriate for anyone who has been diagnosed with a terminal illness and they're not seeking active treatment.
Okay.
Either there is no active treatment in in-stage heart failure,
mm-hmm.
certain lung diseases, mm-hmm. things like that, where we can manage symptoms, but there's no treatment.
Yeah.
So that's appropriate for hospice.
Okay.
Sometimes people with cancer either don't want to have the treatment or have done all the treatment they're going to do and they're stopping
mm-hmm.
their treatment, and so then they would go on to hospice in that case. End-stage dementia patients.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of different things that can last for quite a while. So
mm-hmm.
we have people on hospice sometimes 2-3 years even, and they're still appropriate. And the level of care and support that hospice can provide is quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
So you have, first of all, you have the nurse that goes out usually 1 to 2 times a week. You can have CNAs that go out and help with bathing.
Mm-hmm.
We have social workers that go help with whatever social needs you have and spiritual needs with the chaplain. Hospice also provides all of the equipment that's needed to be in the home.
Mm-hmm.
So from anywhere from a bed to a wheelchair to a walker, whatever you need to stay in the home comfortably, hospice
okay.
will provide.
Okay.
They pay for a lot of the medications.
Mm-hmm.
There are some limitations on that, but they would explain all of that. But
right.
also supplies. So
mm-hmm.
things like padding for the bed and all of those kind of things. Hospice mm-hmm. pays for all of that. So they make it possible to keep your loved one at home where they want to be and where right. you want them.
Yes. So another hot topic in my industry is when clients are put on hospice and then we say the word morphine. Oh man.
Yes.
You know how that scares people yes. to death. And I don't think that people understand. Of course you're not if you're not in the medical field, but tell us at the end of life, besides pain relief, what does morphine do and how does it help them through the transition?
Yes, and thank you so much for bringing this
oh,
up.
Oh, absolutely.
Because a lot of the issue comes from the media.
Yeah.
And they'll talk about the morphine like it's mm-hmm. a... And in hospice, we use an oral morphine. So mm-hmm. it's very different than the IV morphine. It's okay. not dangerous like the IV morphine is. It's not going to cause someone to stop breathing. Mm-hmm. In fact, we give it for breathing. We really don't give it for pain that much because it's not as effective for pain as it okay. is for breathing, but it relaxes your lungs so that mm-hmm. you can take a deep breath.
Okay.
And so that's primarily what we use it for at end of life.
Okay.
And it's very safe. Very okay. safe. I've never seen anyone become addicted to it. I've never seen anyone overdose on it. I've never seen that in 24 years of doing it.
That's so. In my experience, it's like, oh, well, now they're on morphine. That means they're going to pass, you know, very, 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 very soon. It's like, I don't feel like that's always the case. What's your take on that?
Well, when that is at the very end of mm-hmm. life, some people start struggling to breathe.
Right.
So they're at the end of life already.
Okay.
So we're giving them the morphine to make them... they're breathing better, not
okay.
to hasten their death or anything mm-hmm. like that, because it does not do that.
Okay.
But sometimes it is right at the end of life because the person was already at the end of life, and it just makes them breathe more comfortably.
I love that. Listen to Shelly. She's been doing this for a long time, okay? So tell me, in your experience as a hospice nurse, what's been the best part and what's been the hardest part?
Well, the best parts are always the patients, of
yeah.
course, and the families. And sometimes that's the hardest part,
yeah.
too, honestly.
yeah, it kind of crosses over.
We deal with so much because in hospice, we're not just taking care of the patient. We're taking care of the family, mm-hmm. too. And so lots of different, there's always stuff going on. You know, mm-hmm. we all have that kind. And then it's, you know, add the stress of caring for a loved one on top of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people think that hospice, that we're there all the time, and we're not. So
right.
that's something we need to say. Sometimes people need caregivers and stuff
right.
on the outside to help because it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. So probably the patients and the families are the best and the worst
yeah.
of it.
What's been your most memorable client? I know we have HIPAA, but you know.
So many of them. But I had this patient one time. Years and years and years ago, and this little lady had end-stage dementia, and she was pretty much unresponsive and stayed in her bed,
mm-hmm.
you know, didn't interact or anything. But every day at about 4:30, 4:40, I would get a call from the office. And this was before we had text and stuff. This was when
yeah.
we had the old Android phones, and they'd call me, and they would say, Mr. Jones, not his real name, Mr. Jones is calling, having issues with his wife. He needs you to go help her right away. And so I'd rush over there and I would get there and Miss Jones would still be sleeping in her
oh.
bed, not responding. I'm like, looking at Mr. Jones and like, okay.
Yeah.
He's like, well, she was. So this went on for like 3 days and I'm finally like 3 days in a row and I'm like, So I thought, well, maybe Mr. Jones is having the issue
mm-hmm.
and not Mrs. Jones. So.
Yeah.
I said, you know what, there's a lot of traffic. Do you mind if I sit here with you and kind of wait out the traffic
mm-hmm.
and let's see? So we sat and he mixed him a little highball, he called it, and he got me a lemonade.
Oh.
And we sat and watched the news and we were talking. And he was from that era, the World War II era. They're very more stoic, you know, didn't talk. But as we talked more, I found out that they were married for 40-something years. And for 40-something years, it's going to like make me cry.
Oh.
Every night they had their highballs and watched the news together. So every night when it was coming towards that time, because Mrs. Jones was really no longer
yeah.
there, he would start to get very anxious.
Mm.
So I got with the whole team, the nurses, social workers, chaplains, all of us, and we made sure that every night, 7 days a week, somebody was there at 4:45
mm.
to watch the news with Mr. Jones and sit with him. So that I know, it makes me want to cry.
I love that so much.
Yeah.
See, guys, that's what hospice is.
Yes.
They take care of the family. It is not just taking care of your loved one. They make sure that you are taken care of because you guys have chaplains as well, right?
Yes.
They can come
yes.
out and
mm-hmm.
speak with the family and really take care of them. So I love that. So back to the Dawn app.
Oh, yeah.
Let's talk about the clinical part of it. So what are some things that are important that need to be documented for hospice that you guys make sure are in your app and not missed?
So hospice, our documentation is the opposite of the way we're taught to document in school. And the opposite of the way we document everywhere else. Because normally, clinical people, we document to show improvement, that what we're doing is causing improvement.
Right.
We have to do the opposite in hospice. We have to show that the patient meets eligibility. We have to show how sick they are. We have to show their decline. So it's very difficult. It's very hard to get into that mindset when you weren't taught to do that.
Right.
And to have the phrases. So we all were taught when we became hospice nurses, paint the picture, paint the picture of eligibility. Everybody says that. And it used to make me crazy because I'm like, I get it, but I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
Like, what are the words? And I heard Adam talking about my notebook that I kept
there.
I kept, when I'd have, I'm such a nerd, but when I'd have a really good phrase, I would write it down.
Yeah.
And so I had hundreds of them. So I made them into books.
What are some examples? Of those phrases.
So, like, instead of saying someone is, if I'm talking about a dementia patient and I say they are oriented times one, as a clinical person, I know that means they're disoriented because you should be oriented times four.
Right.
Well, we can flip it instead and say that they are disoriented times three. Think about the different image in your mind. If I say oriented times one, you're locked on that oriented. But if I say disoriented, you immediately picture someone disoriented. And what happens with hospice companies is they get audited. You know, Medicare might pay the bill, and Medicare can come back 3, 4, 5 years later, look at those records and say, your documentation didn't support eligibility, pay us back. And they do it every day.
Oh.
So we have to write in a way that makes that picture, because the people reading these notes probably aren't even clinical. So that's what we teach and how we word it. Instead of saying someone ambulates with a walker, we say they're unable to ambulate without the use of a walker. Due to the progression of terminal and stage chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, they're unable to speak more than 2 to 3 words without stopping for recovery breaths.
Wow. Okay.
Things like that. So it's filled with like those kind of phrases that nurses can pop into their note quickly without they're so busy these days. And usually you're documenting at home late at night. It just helps you pop all the words in. And
I love that. Makes it easier for the nurses. So the tag bag. I'm a physical therapist assistant. I used to do home health. So does the tag bag benefit any clinician that might be going out? So like, tell me what's inside of it.
So the tag bag, I know I heard Adam telling y'all that story too about like, you know, we can't set our bags down anymore.
No.
There is no way. I've had way too many infested. I'm not doing it. So it holds everything. So it holds your tablet, first of all. It's got a little padded pouch to put your tablet in for your documenting.
Okay.
It has your hand sanitizer on the outside. So I can constantly sanitize my hands, follow good bag technique before I put my hands in. Gloves on the outside. The light, and then inside is the equipment that you need: blood pressure cuff, pulse ox, thermometer, tape measure. I put some basic things in there, but so whatever you want. So depending on your profession, what you like to carry with you is what you would put in it.
Okay, and it just sits right on your hip.
On your hip. You can do it crossbody or on your hip. Either way.
Okay, very cool. What else? I was going to ask you one more thing about the bag. Oh, can we just go online and order the bag if we want it? Okay.
Yep.
And what's the website for that?
It is www.amity.com, and then just go to the products page.
Oh, they had you up there. How awesome.
It is. So that was,
I love that. That's an awesome bag. Oh, perfect. Oh, I love the sanitizer. Guys, this is so important. If you are a nurse or a home health clinician, I want you to take a look at the screen right now and look how easy that would be. You don't even have to take it off. And there's even a place it looks like for your, like your iPad or whatever you're going to be documenting on, which is so important. Yeah.
There were other bags that would have kind of worked, but they didn't have a place for your tablet. So, you know, the tablet, I'd have to hold it under my arm or I would set it down. And you know, when you pick it up, it's always wet. That mystery wet, you know what I'm talking about. So I'm like, I'm not setting it down. I don't know what to do.
Well, I got caught on my earring. So Adam and Shelley, thank you for walking us through all of this. It was such a pleasure to have you guys. You've given our audience real steps to take when it comes to hospice staffing and what hospice means. We're so appreciative for that. So thank you so much for being here. And one more time, tell us where we can reach you.
You can reach us on our website at amitystaffing.com. And it has all of our contact information on there. We have our main branch is in Lafayette, Louisiana, but we just opened a branch in Philadelphia, too.
We're everywhere. Yeah, you are. My daughter lives in Philadelphia. Awesome. So to our viewers, remember the best care starts with preparation, compassion, and the right support. That is all for today's Senior Care Conversation. I'm Hillary Bailey. Thank you for watching, and we'll see you next time.